everybody. I'm Katie.
I'm Becky, and this is Live, Laugh, Lorcana.
What's going on, Becky?
I have an anecdote.
I was hoping.
I'm fully prepared. So I was really craving like a fried egg sandwich, like the ones mom used to make, where it's just a fried egg on two pieces of untoasted white bread.
I have never been given such a sandwich from mom, but go on.
Yours usually had, you used to just do bacon on white bread.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that's not the anecdote. So we're like, oh, let's go to the grocery store. But then we got sidetracked and decided to go to Trax Farms instead. And I got three houseplants for myself because my birthday's coming. And then we didn't do our big grocery shopping load. And then overnight, our freezer was kicked open by my cat. And we lost all of our food. So I'm really glad we didn't go grocery shopping.
Oh, wow. That really worked out.
Yeah, it did.
Your chore procrastination saved you so much money.
Honestly.
I have a anecdote to prompt you for.
Okay.
You tried Sealed, Lorcana, for the first time.
Oh, I thought that would just be part of the episode. But yeah, let's work. Go ahead.
Well, because I don't think we were going to go into tips about Sealed.
Oh, no, that's not our. You're right. It is more of an anecdote level. Yes, we tried Sealed with our friends, which I had never done before. Katie had her booster box and she was like, you can buy these packs if you want to.
Yeah, I gave everybody the option to either buy the packs or just play and then give me the cards when they're done. And everyone chose to buy the packs. I wasn't sure what you guys would do.
Yep. And well, the night before, I had a dream. I had a dream that I bought the packs and I pulled an Enchanted. And so I was like, I texted Katie that morning about the dream. And I was like, I'm going to buy these packs. You know what happened, Katie?
What happened?
I opened my packs and I got an Enchanted Cusco's Palace.
Oh, my goodness.
You were there.
I'm going to be real with you. If it was not a location, I would have been so upset I didn't open the box. But it was a location, so I could live with it.
You can buy it from me if you want.
Nah, I'm good.
That's what I'm screaming. Everything worked out.
Yeah, it's like all of the characters, and then along came Zeus, I think. Actually, I like the RLS legacy, but like, I don't know. Don't tell Ybreezy, but I'm not a huge fan of Cusco's
Palace. Yeah. Maybe if it had been Cuscotopia, the ultimate summer paradise, complete with water slide.
Yes. Oh my God. I just watched the movie. It is so good.
It's so good. There's like a whole deep dive. You find out what that movie was going to be. Have you looked into that? But originally it was like Sun King was the movie, and like they hired all these people to be on it, and like nobody was liking the script, and it kept devolving and devolving and devolving, and then it kind of came into like a comedy thing, which it wasn't supposed to be.
Okay. Well, yeah, I heard it was mostly improvised, so it sounds like that is still true.
Love it. Print.
Oh, but also as we were watching, I realized that I almost have that entire movie memorized.
I believe I do as well. It's so good.
It is. Are you going to keep that Enchanted?
Probably. I'm going to get it graded at least, and then we'll see what's what.
Nice.
I have two others that I need to get graded as well.
What did you think of your first time playing Sealed?
I don't like it.
Really?
No. Like, I don't want these cards, man. I want my cards.
Okay. Let's explain for anybody who doesn't know. With Sealed, you take six packs, you open those packs, and then you have to build a deck of 40 cards with that, no color restriction. Were you overwhelmed by the deck building process?
Not like super. I mean, I know how to build a deck. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, like you need your ones and twos and threes and fours and whatevers, and you kind of go by that and, you know, see if you got any synergies in there that could work. I know basic things about picking cards for Sealed. So I felt like I think I did well picking.
Nice. Did you think it was fun? Did you have fun building a deck on the fly?
Yeah, it was fine.
But that, and then playing with it, you were not a fan of?
I don't know. I didn't do particularly well, which is not why I didn't like it. I just didn't like feel connected to it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like hokey dokey spiritual, but like I feel something with my deck. Like that's my deck. I put a lot of work, a lot of thought into it. Like it's special to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was betraying my constructed deck.
Oh. Yeah, honestly, I kind of know what you mean. Like, it's kind of weird just playing, like, a pile of cards that don't even have, like, synergy. You're just like, this is what I'm playing. But I still had fun. For me, the biggest thing with Sealed is you're playing with so many cards that you never even play with. So there's so many, like, what does that do? Like, oh, this does this that you don't have to do in Constructed because, like, everyone's playing the same cards, which is actually a great thing about Sealed. It's just a lot more explaining.
Yeah. And I definitely played with cards that I've never played with before and played against cards I've never played against before. And that is cool.
And yeah, we also, I mean, I think it's only fair to also state that we were playing, this was a friend's night with two of our friends. So like, I don't think any of us were focused. Like I went undefeated that night, but like I put no stock in that because you were distracting everyone as you do.
What did I do? Am I distracting? Am I the drama?
Yeah, I feel like you're acting like I'm criticizing you, and I'm actually more just pointing out that we had a fun girls' night with our friends, and we're just gabbing away while playing Lurkana, and it was a great time.
Girl Lurkana time is very fun. Mm-hmm. Girls' night Lurkana, something like that. We'll work on the name.
Yeah, workshop it for sure. On to our main topic, I assume.
La 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 Lorecast.
Yeah.
So Katie and I were kikiing with Rebecca from Lurkana Illuminary and Victoria from Lurkana Girl. And we were on an Instagram Live and we were live reacting to the first Lorecast. And it was a ton of fun. The community had really built up Lorecast and fully and utterly delivered. It was awesome.
Absolutely. And what Lorecast was a Twitch stream on the Disney Lurkana Twitch channel led by the community manager, Rochelle. And it also had the art director, Matthew, on there. And also the Illumiteers were on there.
Yeah, it had Aaron and Liam from the Illumiteers. And that was a very, very fun, exciting thing to see them up there.
Yes, that was awesome. But yeah, they like talked for like 2 hours and dropped so much news. Like it wasn't like, oh, here's like 5 minutes of news. Let's like just discuss the implications for the next. Like it was 2 hours of like news, 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 news.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was just kept coming. You know, it was very exciting. Banger after banger, as the kids would say.
Exactly.
So do we want to break down everything that was discussed?
I think so, yes.
Do you have notes?
Yeah, kind of. Do you have notes?
You know I do not.
Yes, that's funny. Funny I asked. Okay, so we got set four info. It's called Ursula's Return.
Very excited about it. Yeah, Ursula, we knew she's been part of the plot this whole time, so... she's ready to return, and I love it.
You're an Ursula stan. You always have been.
I really am. She's incredible.
Also, we got the announcement that Encanto is coming, and there's a whole Encanto-themed starter deck.
It's Encanto, by the way.
Yeah, I really embarrassed myself just then. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. Americans call it Encanto. Encanto! I'm American. But yeah, we got a starter deck featuring all of our Encanto friends. It's so exciting. And they have synergies together. Madrigal is now a card classification.
That was like the craziest part for me. I was not expecting that.
So cool. And they didn't really talk about the other starter deck, but on the cover of it is a very cool looking Anna and Hercules. And it is a blue sapphire steel deck.
Yeah, it's like Ana as a warrior. I was like, that's mm-hmm. awesome.
It really is. I think it's interesting because the Encanto deck is a amber amethyst. And it's interesting that we're reusing two color combos that were in the first chapter. Because we know there's 15 different combinations. We're already doing repeats.
I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. Amber Amethyst was your first deck.
My favorite. I love that. I'm excited to build another one, honestly.
Yeah, I can't not at least try an Encanto deck.
Encanto.
I'm so excited by what we saw. We saw like Luisa in Maribel. And what's the one you really like with the whispers?
Dolores
is beautiful.
She's so cute. And I love the outfit Mirabelle's wearing. It's like definitely in the same vein as her regular clothes, but it's just different. It's so cute. And we saw Felix.
And Bruno.
Juliet.
We do talk about Bruno to steal Jonty's title for his video.
We're about to talk about Bruno, and we're going to. And I love it.
Yes, but I want to see Surface Pressure in Casita the most.
Yes. Great song, great location.
Did you see the Trove?
I did see the Trove.
Do you have an issue with the Trove?
I didn't look at it closely.
See, my issue is just my issue. The dividers. Did you see them?
No.
They're rarity symbols. Instead of like the ink colors.
Oh, because you... Okay, I kind of get that. Is it just one set of each? Or like one set of rarity dividers?
It's one set of rarity dividers, I'm pretty sure.
I guess it vaguely makes sense because the last ones were does colors. It? No, but like what if it did make sense? I guess like there had to have been a vocal minority that was like, I don't organize by color, I organize by rarity. Like who would?
Nobody would because... If you go to build a deck, it's always going to be like, oh, I need these two colors. And also, there are collectors who are always going to order by set number, but set numbers are by color, like because all the like ambers first and then amethyst.
Maybe if they included six sets of them.
Yeah, exactly. That's because I could see, and actually that's how I do it. I do it like, I do it by chapter first, then by ink color, then by rarity within the ink color. If I'm going to do it by rarity, I need six sets of them.
That means you have to buy six troves.
Yeah.
Actually, you'll probably be able to buy just those off eBay, probably pretty cheap.
I don't know. Like, you're crafty. Can you just figure out... can we do a craft day where we figure out how to make ink color dividers, since apparently they're not coming back, and I need to also retrofit them into chapter 1 and 2.
There's actually like 1,000 Etsy stores that already make them. So, but if you want to get crafty, we can.
Yes.
Yes. Craft night.
No, but like, I'm sure this is actually more for like collectors and people who like to have different stuff. Actually, I'm sure there are like non-players who are really excited about the new dividers. I'm just not one of them.
That's fair.
Next thing, Illumineer's Quest, Deep Trouble.
Deep Trouble! Katie, it's so cool. Illumineer's Quest, Deep Trouble. We have a co-op game. It's a co-op game where you and your friends are fighting against Ursula. Because guess what, guys? She's returned.
Yeah, you can play it 1 to 4 players, which I actually really love. So if you want, even if you just want to play it yourself, you can. If you want to play co-op with three of your friends, you can. Family members, that's awesome.
Yeah, and it comes with two decks, but so it's like labeled 1 to 2 players, but you can bring your own decks in more friends.
I know I can't say this as eloquently as Aaron did on the live stream, but like we've talked a lot here about one of the like biggest hurdles for women not used to TCGs coming into TCGs is usually that one-on-one competitive nature. It's very uncomfortable at first tends to be. And this gets rid of that because you don't have to do one-on-one competitive.
So true. No, it's great. I really love it. And I'm really excited about it. And I'm excited to play with you and our partners, maybe, or friends.
Partners, friends, family, so many options.
For sure.
Even though we like to be competitive.
Against each other, yeah.
Yeah.
And I promise I won't bully you if you are failing to defeat Ursula.
You are such a liar. I've played Mario Party with you.
So I have a friend and we play Mario Party online. And it's probably for the best because she doesn't hear what I'm saying and the rage that comes off of me when I'm playing.
Is this a friend who listens to the podcast?
It is. She knows I'm unhinged about it, but she doesn't have to experience it in real time. And I really think that's for the best.
One time we were playing Mario Party. Can you do teams on Mario Party? Is that a thing? Or for the mini game?
I think, well, yeah, sometimes there are 2v2 games. I think in older games, you could, I'm pretty sure on the GameCube one, you could do 2v2.
Yeah, I remember playing a bunch of Mario Party where we decided that you should be partnered with my husband, Josh, and I should be partnered with your husband, Cody. And Josh afterwards was like, Becky is so mean because you are.
Cody won't play Overcooked with me. He's like, no.
Yeah, because I was with Cody. He does not care.
Cody's just here to have a good time.
So you will yell at us, but it's okay. I still want to play with you. We have to, it's the end of the story, right? That's how we get to the end of the story. And there's a special golden pack that we don't get to open until we finish.
And no spoilers.
It's like we need to drop whatever we're doing that
and
day
play it
and like
as
play
soon
it.
As we get it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, for sure. You know, this is like the conclusion of the first story, 4 sets, 1 year. So like, I guess, does that suggest that it'll be episodic? Like next year we'll have 4 sets that kind of tell a story as well. And we get throughout time.
That makes sense to me. Yeah.
I think so. Good stuff.
We also learned that accessories are not tied to the latest set. And we saw a new Big Tink mat and a new Rapunzel mat.
Rapunzel, Gifted Artist, is one of my favorite cards these days. So I want that. I think with the two options, though, I think Giant Fairy Tinkerbell is going to be the more popular mat.
I do agree with you. Just there was so much hype around that card when it came out.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, I want both of the Big Tink and Rapunzel playmat because that's who I am as a person.
Playmat girl.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a Stitch mat I ordered on the Disney store.
Oh, nice. Speaking of things that we want, we saw a bunch of prize cards for.
Oh, my gosh. Are these just for the challenges?
As far as we know.
Can you explain the difference between challenges and nationals?
The challenges are like the regional level tournament where we're going to compete to get our spot in the continental championships. It's not technically nationals because like it's going to be all of North America.
Yes. And from there, worlds.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense. I love it. So they shared the prizes and they're really fantastic special foiled versions of previous cards that will be given out. There's one for everybody. Everybody who goes gets the fancy Dragonfire. And then what's the first break? 64?
64, Let It Go. That is my goal. I know I'll never reach it, but I think that Let It Go is beautiful. And 64 really is like the first non-participation. So that will be my goal. I won't hit it.
Right. Well, we'll see. And then after that, there's
Cinderella, top 32.
Then we got Cinderella Stout Hearted for top 32. Rapunzel gifted with healing, top 16. And then top 8 get the Rapunzel gifted with healing mat, which is foiled.
I cannot get over this playmat, and you know that I'm playmat girl, and I know I can't get this playmat, but wow.
It's pretty incredible. Pretty good. And then top 4 get a super secret Mickey Brave Little Taylor card that has not yet been revealed, but it will be gold. Not real gold. It will just look gold.
How do you feel about all these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things that exist that are so far out of your reach because they're so far out of mine? I'm not saying it to you.
Honestly, I feel like as penance, Ravensburger should really increase enchanted drop rates.
That seems reasonable. I hope we see these kinds of really amazing art prizes for things outside of competition. Like, I want to see these kinds of special promos for a cosplay contest.
Ooh.
Maybe not like right away. I know that's a tall ask, but I do hope at some point we're seeing beautiful art cards for like a cosplay contest.
I would love that. I would participate.
I know you would.
I would quit my job. I don't have a job. I would quit raising my children, dedicate myself to my craft, turn the nursery back into my sewing room, and get to work.
I have a feeling someday we will.
I hope so.
But yeah, I do want all of these things, so it's a little sad that I will never see them. But yeah, those prizes are all at the challenge events, which we had our first 2 in North America and Europe announced, and we're getting 6 in North America, 4 in Europe.
Whoa! First 2 are going to be at Atlanta and Chicago. What are the chances we're going to be there, Katie?
Atlanta's unlikely for me because I am coming back from Disney World on the 24th.
Although, if you're in the Disney at Disney to the 24th, just drive to Atlanta.
The 40 Born Boys live in Atlanta, so.
Katie! Hang out with our best friends, Jake and Taylor.
Maybe, but probably not.
Let's see how far away Orlando and oh my God, it's still a 6-hour drive. Never mind.
Oh, it's too far.
America's too big.
It really is. But Chicago's a couple weeks after that. Direct flights to Chicago from Pittsburgh are usually pretty cheap, so that is more likely.
Nice.
But I kind of want to see where the other 4 are before I commit, you know? Because if all of those are places I really want to go to.
I guess Chicago is considered the Midwest location. And I assume they'll have one in Canada.
Fingers crossed for Toronto, because that's too close for us.
That is pretty close for us. But also, you got your West Coast.
And I don't even think we said top 8 will get invited to continental championships.
Nice.
What is the over-under on you being at any of these, Becky?
Almost none, to be honest. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. Next!
You're going to make me go without my emotional support, human.
Aww.
That's you!
Well, if anyone wants to come and watch my kids, send me your resume.
Valid. Oh, and we got the best news about tournament play.
Debatable. Not by me, but by others. Tell us about it, Katie.
So we've talked so much. Best of 1, best of 3. People have debated. Actually, not many people have debated. Pretty much everyone's like, well, Magic's best of 3, so that's what we should do. Anyway, Ravensburger has decided to deviate from those norms and try a new 2-game format.
Do you want me to explain it?
Yeah, go ahead. Explain it.
Okay. So what happens is for Swiss rounds, it's going to be a best of 2. Except it's not a best of 2. It's just 2 games. So in that, each player will get the opportunity to go first. And the scoring will be 1 point per win, but if you win both games, you get an extra point.
Very nicely explained. It's so funny because my husband and I have talked about this a lot in the first player advantage. There are times that people have said the first player advantage in Lorcana is as high as 64%, which is hard to believe. But there's definitely some first player advantage. And we talked about, how are we going to fix this? My husband's like, the solution is so easy. Instead of best of three, just play two games. One person goes first each time, point for each win. Like, we've actually talked about this multiple times, and we never thought Lorcana would do it because no other game had. But then Lorcana announced that they are doing it. And literally afterwards, my husband, who has been playing competitive TCGs for 15 years, came in and said that this is the most exciting thing that's happened in competitive TCGs in a long time. And he hopes that Magic and Pokemon are paying attention.
Tim, this was all Tim's idea. Tim pitched it and everyone's like, what? Tim walked in there like Daenerys Targaryen. And he was like, I don't want to stop the wheel. I'm going to break the wheel. And here we are.
Perfect analogy.
A lot of people are mad about the two-game Swiss, especially people who are quote-unquote competitive. Oh, somebody, I saw this multiple times, people complaining that it's too inclusive. Hilarious! And that it's, like, catering to casual players. Like, what are you mad about? Like, if you're good, you're gonna win. Like, what are you complaining about?
I also wanted to rant about this because I've seen the same take multiple times. And it's like, okay, you clearly didn't listen to the Lorecast because they actually gave like six reasons for why it's so much better for competitive. And then they also said this thing about how it's psychologically better for people. But like the fact that you're like actually mad that someone's trying to make a space you're already comfortable in, comfortable for others, like, how does that make sense?
I know. Knive from Knives Nerd Corner did a really interesting breakdown on the statistics from running it. He ran a simulation using the two game Swiss for a tournament that already happened to compare how this would shake up the results. And honestly, not much.
That is interesting. As for reasons why I like the two-game format, it takes care of first player advantage. It takes away like some of the weird behavior you see with best of three, where I win my first game and then I slow play the second, because now slow playing the second doesn't help me get like 3 points for that round. Because it used to be if I slow play the second, we get to the end, I won, you lost, I get all 3 points. But now I gain nothing from that slow play. I'm only hurting you. I can still slow play just to hurt you. But now I have no chance at 3 points. And you have no chance at one if I slow play.
Very true.
And they did also talk about how it is better for new players. Instead of having that very like harsh, I won 0 rounds, but lost 3 rounds. Instead, you're just going to say, I have this many points, which corresponds to, you know, how many games you've won, how many bonus points you've earned.
Beautiful. I love it.
As a new player, do you prefer that?
Semantics don't matter to me, but I do love a point system. I expressed this when Lorcana first came out, that it is an additive sort of game, like you're working towards something rather than defeating the other person. You're growing yourself. And I mean, psychologically, yeah, that's delightful. So yeah, I'm down.
Nice. We love two game format.
We do. We love it. Tim is the best. He deserves his own parking spot if he doesn't already have one, a major bonus, and a yacht.
That got out of control, but sure.
No, give Tim a yacht. He deserves it.
Other updates are that we are getting rules this week and a judge program soon.
Love it. Glad it was addressed because we were wondering. Mm-hmm. Very excited about those things as well.
Anything else you wanted to talk about for the lore cast?
I can't wait to watch it again, though. I especially want to watch that trailer again, that few minutes trailer where we saw Bruno and everyone's like getting ready to fight. Ugh, so good.
I do. I love the trailer. I did watch that again.
Oh, did you want to touch on any of the new cards that were revealed that you were particularly excited about?
I think we did that with Encanto a little bit.
We need to talk about Mulan.
Mulan is awesome and really, really good.
Her ability, triple shot. That's wild. She does her damage to three people. That's insane. So good. Very excited about that.
And the art on that card is really, really good too.
And that legendary Ursula keeps opponents from singing songs. Love that.
Yeah, that is really good.
Can I tell you something stupid?
Of course.
This is one of those takes I have that people are be like, why? I almost always pay to sing songs. I never have my characters sing songs.
Why?
I don't know. I need them for other things. I'd rather get lore.
But then you can pay.
More challenging. I don't know. I just always feel like they have a more important job than like taking a turn to sing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's definitely true some of the time. I'm going to play more with you to see how often that's true. But
I don't play many songs, though.
You also tend to play aggro, where your characters have very high lore, so I can see not wanting to use them to sing.
There you go.
We made it make sense.
Made it make
sense. So you're saying Ursula doesn't bother you? You're like...
It doesn't affect me really, no. But it's great for you know, affecting others. Yeah, because, you know, steal song. Singer 4, get it out of here.
Take that, Ariel.
Yep.
All right.
LQs?
Listener questions? This is the first time I didn't ever, like, read the listener questions beforehand. I haven't had time, so we'll see how this goes.
Tempest George asks, question for the pod. If they made a Lorcana-themed area for Disney World / Disneyland, what do you think they would call it? And do you think they should make a sub-area for each chapter set? Let me answer first, because I have this already.
Okay.
Okay, so here, I already have the perfect place for it. Inventions in Epcot. It might be something else now, but you know, it's like that under, it's like just a giant building.
Yeah.
That could be the Illuminary.
Hmm.
And stuff in there can be Lorcana-y.
So you're going to do the Illuminary is what it's going to be called?
Yep.
Nice.
Even if it's just a walkthrough thing, I'm fine with that.
Well, I want to dream bigger, and I want to I want to do a whole fifth park at Disney World. We'll call it Illumineer's Quest. I stole that.
I like it.
But yeah, and like I know when Esty was here last week, she talked about like that ride that was like Toy Story Mania, but it like went through the Illuminary. Like that would be epic.
Yeah.
The question is, should they make a sub area for each chapter set?
I think that would get overwhelming pretty quick because they're coming out every 3 months.
Yeah, but maybe like because we kind of talked about how they did 4 sets being one story. So maybe give that a section and then give the next 4 another section.
I get that. I love it. Next question. B Squared asks, if you were to get a Lorcana themed tattoo, what would it be? Where would it go? And why would it be what you chose? Do you have an answer?
I have the most boring answer ever. I think I would do like a lore symbol on the ankle because I think that's like very like cute, and, but like also not over the top for a tattoo because I don't have any tattoos. But the real answer is going to be whatever you choose because I'm only going to do it if you're doing it with me.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that because here are my thoughts. So what I'm doing for you is you're getting a Cinderella stout-hearted back piece, and it's gonna be so good. And then for me, I keep coming back to this. I don't know if it's the move though. I have been very, very, very into Jasmine, Queen of Agrabah recently, And I think that would be a cool tattoo. And we could have our girls. I'll have like Jasmine right on my right shoulder, and you will have Cinderella on your left shoulder. And we stand together and it's like, boom, just a couple of girls ready to fight. Ooh, maybe I'll get that new Anna because they both look like warriors.
That is bigger than I was expecting.
I have always wanted like a really BA woman tattooed on my back. Always. Like, honestly, like, I know I've been contemplating who should go back there for like 10 years. And I want like a Valkyrie or like something like that. And I feel like Anna, kick ass Anna, would be good.
All right. I'm with you.
Yeah. Tempest George also asks, do you guys have any traditions or superstitions? It can be Lorcana related, like with pack in openings or just anywhere in your life. Would you like me to answer?
Yeah.
I have too many. I'm broken. Okay, so like...
I was going to say, everyone I've ever had has come from you, like putting it on me. So go ahead.
Oh my God, you're right. So like, the ones you probably know about is I like volumes on even numbers. And when two people are walking side by side and they like go around an object and then come back together, you have to cut the bread where you, the one person puts their hands together like in prayer, and then the other person has to slice through it. Otherwise you'll fight all day. And I also have more, like I do two swipes of deodorant on each arm. And then whenever I fill a water bottle, I have to pour a tiny bit out afterwards. And then like before, but stop, what is this face you're making?
Well, because the question was about superstitions and you're this is talking about OCD, but go ahead.
I'm not. It's not OCD. It's I have to do these things. I have to do these things or bad stuff will happen.
Do we have any trained psychologists listening?
Okay. I talked to my therapist about it. She says it's fine.
Okay. I didn't say it wasn't fine, but they seem a little obsessive compulsive. Go on.
The other one is kind of intense. And when it's not that intense, but like when I am laying down before bed, I like to send well wishes to everybody in my life, like go through them individually and wish them like health, happiness, and strength. And I have to be touching my headboard when I do it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But Lorcana related? No.
I could only think of two that I've ever had. One of them I got from you is you told me I had to touch the outside of the plane before I got on the plane or the plane would crash. And I did that for years and years and years.
Yeah, I do that.
Until like finally, because I was traveling back and forth when I was in grad school in Minnesota, like a lot. And traveling for like math conferences and stuff. And I'm like, I have to stop doing this. It's not rational. And I made myself get on the plane without doing it. And the plane didn't crash. And now I'm like, okay, I never have to do it again.
Do you know where I actually got that from?
I think it's Vlogbrothers.
Yeah, John Green does that. And he also says, pray at some point when the plane is ascending and at one point when it's landing. I don't do that part, but I do touch the plane because of him. His greatest contribution to my life. Okay.
Wait, no, I have the other superstition is remember when we were in forensics in high school and we did forensics together. We were on a team. We did duo interpretation. That's when two people act out a skit together. Okay, we were so good. We went to nationals twice. Do you remember?
No, I really don't.
We had this thing where we had to wear our forensics necklace to every event that we competed in.
Yeah. Your ranking in forensics, which is speech and debate, by the way, in case you're confused. Your ranking is like a gemstone. So it's like we didn't get very far. I think I finished double ruby, which is not very high.
The highest.
Quad ruby is highest. Okay. Quad ruby is 1,000 points, and then triple ruby is like 750, double ruby is 500.
But like ruby is the highest. It's like there's like five different gemstones before ruby, before they start just multiplying the rubies, because ruby's the highest.
Anyway, but also it's like really tacky to wear those, but we did anyway.
When we couldn't not, and I remember we went to Nationals in Madison and I had forgotten my necklace at home and we freaked out.
Right.
And our parents paid to have it overnight shipped to Wisconsin so we could have it for our tournament.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that. Yeah, I think I blocked out a lot of that.
But now I'm like, I feel like I need like a jewelry piece or something to give me luck with Lorcana.
Excuse me. I just gave you 6 Disney bracelets for Christmas.
Okay, I'll choose one of those. I'll choose one of those.
Come on. Hooray. Is that what you were asking for, Tempest George? I hope we answered your question. Wow. Okay. Jake from 40born asks, Becky, do you have any book recommendations? My favorite genre is fantasy, and it seems like yours is as well. Jacob, thank you for coming to me on this. Common misconception that I like fantasy. I do not. Oh, well, it's fine. I don't gravitate towards it. Also, I really don't do high fantasy. Pretty much all I read are romance novels. And so I do read a decent amount of fantasy romance because I am peer pressured into doing so. And I find most of it pretty mid. I will say, though, I do have a book recommendation. Not for you, though, Jacob, because you recommended it to me. Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies is the best book I read this year. It is a very cozy fantasy, light romance, very cute. Takes place in early 1900s Earth and is very fun and delightful.
I might actually read it.
Do it! I actually have a long monologue I was going to do where I was going to give other book recommendations, but it's okay.
Do it!
Yes! Okay. Oh, but the reason I think that most romanticy is kind of mid is because with the success of A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas and the Empyrean series, which better known as Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, is the market's pretty flooded and most of it is kind of not very good. One other problem I have with a lot of modern fantasy is I don't know where we are. That's why I like a period fantasy. That's why I like Emily Wilde so much. I also like a medieval kind of fantasy. But like with books like ACOTAR and Fourth Wing, I don't understand it. Like I know we're in a different world, but there's like no electricity and no cars. But somehow everybody's talking like they are American teenagers in 2016. And that is hard for me. Like Violet in Fourth Wing uses the phrase "for the win." I'm just like, where are we? What is happening? But other things I'm really into right now, I've actually been big into sports romance, even though I don't know anything about sports, because I just love men supporting other men. These books, these bros got you on the field and off the field. We're having heart to hearts in the locker room, emotionally available to one another. I don't know if that's how real sports are like. I don't play them, but I want to believe. Kate Meador's Chicago Rebel series is really good. And then my favorite thing to read is historical romance. And I have read probably almost 1,000 historical romance books over the past 12 years. The best is
Bridgerton. Just kidding.
What?
I said Bridgerton just to trigger you, but.
Okay. No. No. Although the show is fantastic. Highly recommend if you're into that sort of thing. The costuming is like really lovely, like not historically accurate at all, but just like really charming. And it's a lot of fun. But anyway, it is the Maiden Lane series by Elizabeth Hoyt. I have been trying to get somebody to read this for, I don't know, like 5 years now and nobody will read it, but it is so good. Well, the first two are like a little slow, but then it really picks up. And this series has everything. It has pirates. It's got sword fights. It has a mysterious Batman character. It's got orphans. It's got a cult. It's got redemption. It's got justice. It's got revenge. It's got powdered wigs and gin. Like, let's go.
Those sound like some great books. I've already forgotten everyone, so I'm going to need you to give them to me for the show notes.
Do not put this in the show notes. Yeah, Jake, thanks for the question. If anybody ever wants to talk, romance novels with me, please hit me up, DM me, especially if you read Maiden Lane. I want to hear all of your thoughts as you're reading it. Give me everything. Next, Jedi Geek Girl says, which pair of Disney sisters do you two identify most with? And to make this interesting, not Anna and Elsa, and open to all Disney sisters. Although, let's clear the air. Me, Anna, you, Elsa.
Obviously.
Okay. Do you have an answer for this?
I struggled with it. I think it's going to be Madrigal sisters.
Who's who?
I couldn't decide who is who.
Oh, I think we all know who is who.
Oh, great. Tell me.
You are Luisa, obviously.
I'm not very strong, but I'll take it.
You do have some physical strength, but you also have a lot of strength in you, obviously. That's why you're Cinderella stout-hearted as well. You got that strength. And I know for a fact, the first time you heard the song Surface Pressure, you cried. So I feel like that's you.
I did. That's true.
I feel like I'm Mirabelle. She's just kind of like trying to keep the peace and like not really having the thing that makes them feel special, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like I do relate a bit to Isabella because I do feel like that pressure to kind of stay in my lane, even though that's not what makes me happy.
That's interesting. I do like Mirabelle as you, because like I feel like you don't see how special you are, and you're just like, look how great my sister is, because you've done that before, and I'm like, Becky, you're so great.
Oh, Katie, God, we are such suckers for sister stuff. But also other pairs, because there aren't that many Disney sisters that I could think of offhand.
Yeah, like Lilo and Nani.
I guess I'm the baby. And the literal toddler.
Lilo and Stitch is so good. Lilo in that movie is like so weird and dramatic and just incredible.
Oh, so good. But other sister-like figures I was thinking of with this was also Pocahontas and Acoma, which
that was my first thought.
Yeah. Who's who, Katie?
Obviously, Nakoma is me.
Yes. And then also, I thought another fun one was like Tiana and Lottie from.
Oh, yeah.
Which obviously.
I don't see either of us as Lottie, so I'm struggling.
It's me. I'm Lottie.
Really?
I want to be a princess.
That's fair.
And I like poofy dresses. What more is there? And I'm supportive, but also very self-absorbed. Okay. Next question. Jedi Geek Girl asks, Katie, oh good, because we had a question for me. And so this one's for you. Katie, how have you and your other half been enjoying SWU? Do you have a favorite leaders you like to play as? If so, who?
I am so sorry to disappoint you, Jedi Geek Girl, but I haven't really been playing much. I don't have a lot of time. And then also my husband was always asking me to play before locals started up. But now he goes to like 4 or 5 events a week. So he has no reason to ask me to play. So I haven't really been playing. The heroes that I have played are Luke and Vader starter decks. That's what we played the most with. I've also tried Sabine and Boba Fett. And of those four, Luke is my favorite. Definitely my favorite hero.
He showed off his fancy stuff that was in the plastic cases. What was that?
Showcases. Those are like the enchanted equivalents in Star Wars.
He had like 4 of them.
Yeah.
Do they have better drop rates?
No. Every time one of his friends opens one, he buys it off of them.
Oh. That makes more sense. Jedi Geek Girl also asks, where is the attendance at when it comes to your locals? Is it same as it was 4 months ago? Smaller, bigger, same people, a bunch of new people who have rotated in? I don't know. I feel like we've been at our main store. I feel like we've been rocking around 40 for a while.
I agree. Like we see like a small amount of churn. There's definitely a lot have been there since the beginning, but there's definitely some I haven't seen back and definitely some new faces, but it's kind of stayed steady at 40.
Rob from Wana Lakana asks, if you could change one rule or specific game mechanic for Lakana, would you? If so, what would it be?
I wouldn't. I don't want to be changing game mechanics or anything like that. I really like the game as it is. And I haven't really done any testing with it, so I'm going to trust the people who did.
Yeah, this question is also above my pay grade. But so it's funny because, like, I feel like I always have an answer for this of something where I'm like, I wish this didn't exist. And the reason I don't want it to exist is because I don't understand it, or like it's something I'm not good at, or something I'm not good at countering. But like this is so stupid. When the game first came out, I was like, I hate Bodyguard. I just hate it because, like, it was frustrating me because, like, I didn't understand it. But then now Bodyguard's like one of my favorite mechanics. And then also I had like a brief hatred of locations for like a week or so, where I was like, this is stupid. I don't get it. Why do we need this? But now it's just like, yeah, they're there. It's fine.
That is so funny, because the last deck I saw you build was like all Bodyguard's locations.
And it was a lot of fun. See, we all learn.
Live, laugh, learn.
Live, laugh, learn. Jake from 40born asks, Becky, how many of your bones has Katie broken? Oh my god, Jake, I'm so glad you asked. One. Katie broke my arm when I was in kindergarten because we were throwing paper airplanes off our deck and then running to chase after them, and Katie tripped me and I hit the ground and broke my arm.
Yeah, that was one of those things where it, like, goes through your head and you're like, I'm going to trip Becky like people do on TV, and it's going to be so funny, like it is on TV. It was not funny.
It's funny now. I'm sorry that people keep bringing it up. It's like with me driving the tractor. Dad tells that story to everybody. Story. And honestly, it makes him look like a not very responsible parent. I'm the 13-year-old in that story. Driving the tractor into the neighbor's fence. Why'd he let me on there?
We all wonder.
And then Erlyn asks a follow-up question. How many of Katie's bones has Becky broken? Katie?
Zero.
Next question. Martin Karp asks, Katie and Becky, how many bones have you broken that wasn't at the hands of your sister? Honestly, only, knock on wood, only bone I've ever broken, Katie broke. Katie?
I have never broken a bone.
Sister on sister violence.
Also, remember when you apologize that people keep bringing it up when the person who keeps bringing it up is you?
Love it. Next question. Vander Archer asks, what would your dream Disney job be? Would it be part of a movie as an actress or voice actress, cast member, animator, or really whatever your mind can think of, like CEO of Disney? Okay, so when I was younger, do you remember that, like, thing on Disney Channel? It was like, Imagineer that. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Okay. Well, I always thought Imagineer would be a really cool job. And I feel like you're really good at, like, technical stuff and, like, figuring things out. And I'm really good at creative problem solving. And I feel like together we would be one very good Imagineer.
Hmm.
But my real answer is voice actress. I've wanted to be a voice actress since I was like 14, and I took a class in it recently, and I have potential, she told herself.
No, you were great in that. And I remember you getting a lot of compliments from the teacher. And then I also remember you giving up.
I can't like pick. It's one of those things I think I could be good at if I committed to it and worked my craft, but like, I can't commit to anything. Mm-hmm. I'm like an 8-lane highway. I'm just moving. I can't pick a lane, you know? Do you want to hear some voices?
More than anything.
Okay, well, if they're bad, you cut them, okay?
Okay.
So first off, this is my little baby voice. I don't know anything.
And then we got like, this is the classic voice of an adult woman pretending to be a young boy. And then we got like,
oh, I don't know about that. Maybe we could see.
And then you got like,
I'm not like other girls. I'm your manic pixie dream girl.
How was that?
Beautiful.
Thanks. So you answer.
Well, I do like your pitch of me being half an Imagineer. Yeah. I could do that. It definitely wouldn't be a cast member or something front facing. I remember working at the Disney store. They really like you to talk to people and make people's days magic. And I am an introvert. And honestly, Disney cast member was the only job I've ever had that I've been bad at for that reason. So like probably something like and like computer animation side, because I know there are people who went to the same computer science school that I went to, Haley Iben, who went on to work on Pixar films. So
I love that. I think that's really funny that that's the only job you've been bad at, because I've been bad at every job I've ever had.
I should not be in any job that requires social interaction with others. It is not my style.
Then why are you always doing it? Next question. Tempest George asks, should Disney make a Floodborne variant of their movies? Because the Floodborne are very different from their original counterparts. This is an interesting idea. And I feel like we kind of might see this a little bit. And like, I mean, what is, you remember like live action Maleficent? It's like different than Sleeping Beauty, or like the live action Cruella de Vil movie.
Oh yeah, great points.
It's kind of like a different trajectory you haven't seen in the main film. I think that I'm into it. I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I love that idea.
Next question. Tempest George also asks, what is the most obnoxious but impressive thing you've seen playing Lorcana? For example, somebody playing all enchanted foil cards, somebody with their deck made of PSA graded cards in their casing, someone bringing a suitcase of decks, etc. Have you ever seen any weird flexes?
In the note below this is inspired by Lorcana Man's Instagram reel. He made as a joke where he's playing.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
Yeah, we actually shared this reel on our Instagram by Lorcana Man, and he's playing Lorcana with an entire deck of enchanted cards. Like, the whole deck's enchanted, and all the enchanted cards are in cases.
What does he call them?
Slab. At one point, he asked his opponent how many slabs in hand. That is so funny. But yeah, he's like, he's playing cards, he's shifting cards, everything is in cases. It's fantastic. And that's hard to top. I don't feel like I've seen any obnoxious flexes. We definitely have a lot of locals that play enchantments in their deck. And I'm just like, okay, go off.
Like, work?
Yeah.
I mean, they're your cards. You can do what you want with them.
Mm-hmm.
Next cue. Martin Karp asks, who are some guests you haven't had on the pod yet that you're hoping to have on one day? And do we need the LLL to spam them on social media until they accept? Absolutely not for number two.
Absolutely not. I will just say we have a very long list of people we would like to get on the pod. But like, if there's anybody you want to hear also, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Also, I don't know if you've noticed, but we kind of have a shtick on this pod where we try to bring on women and gender non-conforming guests. So if you meet those criteria and you want to be on the pod, you can just ask.
Just ask. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we have a couple of like white whales that would be interesting. And Katie, who is our featured creator?
Our featured creator is S'more Kana, the world's number one ranked Disney snack Lorcana crossover podcast. Those are their words, but I really do believe they are in fact number one in that category. So this podcast features a husband and wife, Brett and Katie. Brett is more from the TCG side and Katie is more from the Disney side. She was even a Disney Parks cast member. They have a fantastic podcast where they talk about Lorcana, Disney, snacks, Disney snacks. What more do you need? Their podcast is a ton of fun to listen to. It's super high quality. It's really fun. And they just have great conversations about Disney and Lorcana. So be sure to check out S'more Kana on all podcast platforms, Twitter and Instagram. Also, another thank you to Martin Karp, who continues to send us great content creator recommendations.
Well, thanks for listening to our show. Be sure to check us out on Instagram and Twitter. See us on YouTube for this, but on YouTube. And also, we have posted our live stream of the Lorecast with Rebecca and Victoria. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we have a Discord. It is the best place on the internet. Come hang out with us.
Best place on the internet. Bold words.
It's my favorite place on the internet.
Yeah, it definitely is. And until next time, remember to live, laugh, and lore.